That was wonderful. Thank you. So are you an adventurous person, I guess is the question to ask this morning. You see a graphic like that up there. It's kind of inspiring. It's kind of fun to see. And then some of us are lifted by that or motivated by that. Others are motivated to sit back and go, that's not me. Are you an adventurous person? Regardless of whether you answer yes or no, I'm going to tell you, however, that you're still on an adventure. This morning I want to talk about the edge of adventure. And it is something that whether you have chosen it or not, it is long, it is necessary, it is essential, it is ours. It's part of this series that we're doing, which is finding, getting our bearings and finding our way. And what we're doing is we're trying to talk, how do we walk through this life of ours in this time, this sense of wilderness? And we're using the story of the Exodus, the great exit. That dominates the key story in the Old Testament. So here's the deal. As we read the passage today, you've got people, the children of Israel, who have been slaves for 400 years. They have been free. God has overcome all the forces of Pharaoh. And now they got to get from point A to point B. Which way do we go? If Moses had ways, he would pull it out and he could poke it in and say, okay, where we go? And it would be a couple choices. And maybe choice number one would be this. It would be, here is the quickest, the easiest way. It is the way, as we are told, in the along the sea route. It's fairly well marked, lots of population, lots of Starbucks along the way. It's all freeways, all four lanes. There's also a lot of Philistines, however, and they're not the friendliest people. They own the coastland. So maybe there's another choice. And if you get your ways out and go, okay, I don't want any marauding tribes in front of me. What's another way to go? So choice number two would be this way. It'd be a trade route that was also existing in those days. And it was actually a little faster, but as you can tell, it's not along the coast. Nowhere near as many Starbucks, not as many provisions. But it was a great trade route that people would take back and forth, in part because even though it was all back roads, it was also out of the way of the Philistines. So if you were Moses, if you were the people, which would you choose, number one or number two? And of course, the answer is you choose number three, because this is actually what was chosen for them. And this, by the way, if you know the story of Exodus, you know there's another 40 years on top of this. This was just getting them up to the point where they had to turn back. We'll talk about that next week of why they had to turn back. But this was the way. This is what is called the roundabout way in our scripture this morning. When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was nearer. For God thought if the people face war, they may change their minds and return to Egypt. The people who had just seen God persevere and win, prevail over Pharaoh with all the plagues, and finally they're let go, and now they've been given all these treasures from Egypt. They are still going to doubt God, and so he says, let's go by a different way. So God led the people by a roundabout way of the wilderness towards the Red Sea. The roundabout way. If you and I, we would say, I need a new GPS, I need a new app, I need a new navigator. This story is saying what we need is a new idea of what it is that we're trying to do. Because if this was just a story, one of those flannel board picture stories that you learn in Sunday school, that'd be one thing. But I'm going to contend that this is, in fact, not just a story about what happened once. This is a story that happens every day. That's the power of Scripture. It's when we read it and see it for ourselves. And in fact, what I got to do as I was looking at that map, I said, what would happen if you took the map away? And here's what you would get. You would get what is a sort of a graph. You would get this path. This is the path that we all want for our lives. It's pretty much up and to the right. So if it's a successful career, that's pretty much the path you would want to take. If it's your spiritual life and you want to get closer to God, that's the path you'd want to take. Your marriage, you'd like it to take that path. Your relationship with your kids, your career, all of those things are, that's pretty much the way that you would like it to take. Just pretty much what was available at that time. In truth, how it actually works out, of course, is you just lay the other path up there. And this is the path that actually, if you're on the graph, this is a lot what actually looks like for a lot of us. It's up, it's down, it's backwards, it's forwards. It is the roundabout way, and it is frustrating. It is not the most efficient way. It's not the quickest way. It's not the safest way. It's not the most comfortable way. So evidently, not only in the Old Testament, but evidently in today, those are not words that matter all that much to God. That one of the chief values of God is not comfort. One of the chief values of God is not safety. One of the chief values of God is not efficiency. And so it begs the question, so then what is our job? What are we supposed to do? If in fact that is our life, if in fact you look at that and go, yeah, that's actually mine has a few more squiggles and backwards and forwards than all of that. It is this. The basic truth is that there are some things that just take time. There are no shortcuts. In fact, anything significant takes time. Let me go further. There is nothing that is significant in your life that can be done quickly. We want to microwave our life. We want it done now. We want it fast. What's the quickest, fastest way to get from point A to point B, from who I am to where I want to be? There is nothing that is significant that is quick. There's a lot of things that are quick that'll get you in trouble. A lot of shortcuts. But anything that has meaning and significance, whether it's love, whether it's relationships, whether it's depth, none of it comes quickly. So Pierre de Chardin had this wonderful quote. It says, trust the slow work of God. The people of Exodus would understand this. Trust the slow work of God. This is going much slower than I want, I know. This isn't very efficient use of time, I know. This looks terrible in my day timer, I know. Trust the slow work of God. Now, he could say this because Chardin, about 100 years ago now, he was really about 100 years ahead of his time. He was a worldwide noted paleontologist and a priest. And in the time when the church, early church was, in the early part of the 20th century, was fighting about evolution and how could evolution and the battle between that, he was one who embraced and said, oh my goodness, I'm a paleontologist. Let me tell you what I have seen, how things develop. I'm a priest. Let me tell you about the purpose and meaning of all of this. And he put them both together and he says, no, these are not obstacles. This is the slow work of God. It's the slow work of God in the universe. It's the slow work of God in your life. This is how we shape a soul. This is how we craft the character of a people. What are we trying to craft? It is this experience. It is this experience. Jump a few chapters later, and you get this idea that here's what God is trying to get people to experience as he's talking to them, just as he's giving the Ten Commandments. And he says, the Lord, a God merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness. This fivefold affirmation of faith that becomes core to their life together. How does something like this become core? Very slowly. Very deliberately. There have to be a lot of breaks and healing. There has to be a lot of betrayal and forgiveness. There has to be a lot of time. If you're going to know more than just the words, if this becomes your experience of God, it only comes slowly. Trust the slow work of God, Chardin would say. Part of it was that this is how we get to know God, and it is gradual, and it's bigger than us. It takes the roundabout way. And I love the insight that Chardin was able to say. All the focus, he says, all we're fighting about is the alpha person, is the alpha human. Who things start? Did it start with a literal 6 days and an Adam and Eve? Did it start with evolution? He says, we're asking the wrong questions. He says, our focus is completely in the wrong place. He says, rather than there, we should be looking, because of what we know about Christ, we should be looking at what he called the omega person, the ultimate person who is Christ. He says, that is who we're moving towards. This is determining who we are. How we started, who cares about all of that? That's important only as it relates to who we are becoming. This is what's shaping us. This is this magnetic pull that God is bringing into humanity, and there is no shortcut. There is nothing that we can do, and it's bigger than us, and we need to pay attention. And by the way, it's bigger than even our lifetime. There's this curious passage, this little snippet in this story that I just love, where it says, "And Moses took with him the bones of Joseph, who had required a solemn oath of the Israelites, saying, 'God will surely take notice of you, and then you must carry my bones with you from here.'" Joseph was, if you remember your stories in the Old Testament, was the son who came, and he became Pharaoh's second in command. And because of him, the Jews at first experienced great, great status. And then after he died is when all their troubles came. But Joseph said, "Look, don't you leave me here. I know this is bigger than my lifetime. I know this is bigger than just one person. So you make sure that when that day comes, whenever that day comes, you take me." And he kind of gives a veiled threat in the midst of it. Whose bones do you carry? Whose hopes? Whose dreams? Who are the parents, the grandparents, the teachers, the mentors who helped make you, you? We don't carry physical bones with us, but we carry the hopes and the dreams, the imprint of the people who have come to get us where we are. This is bigger than just our own life. This is bigger than just a generation. This is the slow but steady, incredible work of God towards who we are created to be. The adventure is the adventure of discovering what it means to be truly human, as we understand through Christ. It is long, it is slow, it is found on the edge of a wilderness. They set out from Succoth and camped at Etham on the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went in front of them in a pillar of cloud by day to lead them along the way, and in a pillar of fire by night to give them light so that they might travel by day or by night. Here's that wilderness thing again. Wilderness is this image that runs all through the Bible. Everybody in the Bible has to go through this necessary wilderness, some short, some long. Wilderness is always on the edge of what's known to what's unknown. What's comfortable, what's uncomfortable. What's predictable, what's unpredictable. Where I am in control and where I am not in control. Find that line in your life, and you have just defined your wilderness. And you've also defined pretty much where you're going to find God. It is true that God is everywhere that we are, but I love this passage that even God is in our midst. It also has, and then in the edge of the wilderness, it is the God who is just in front of us, waiting for us to step from where we are to where we yet need to be. There's a graphic that's used in business models and just to get people to think creatively, and I thought about it today, and it pretty much goes here. Here you are, your comfort zone and where the magic happens. Did you notice where the magic happens? Outside of our comfort zone. We would say in the Bible, this is a wilderness. Here we are in our comfort zone, where things are known, where I'm in control, where I've got my life the way I want it to be, and then the wilderness is outside of that. But that is also where the magic happens in your life and in mine, because that's where we begin to encounter God in a different way. And if we encounter God in a different way, we begin to understand that God is the one who is faithful, who is true, who's loving, who's merciful. We begin to experience that. That changes us too. So that the edge of adventure and the edge of the wilderness are one and the same. If you located where that was in your life, where that place is, that line which is wilderness, I'm telling you that that is the edge that is waiting for you to step out. It is the edge that is waiting for us to step out past where we're comfortable and into something where something begins to happen. Well, then what's our job? If it isn't in the Old Testament, if it isn't to get from point A to point B quickly, and it obviously wasn't, then what's our job when we start doing this and this and this and this? And it's in that pillar of fire and that cloud. The job of the people every day is to wake up and to see what God is up to and then respond. Is God moving? Then we move. What if I don't want to move? Doesn't matter. If God's staying, then we stay. But I want to get going. Doesn't matter. The whole point of this was to learn to listen and respond, to recognize what God was trying to do, and to do what was right in front of us, of them. Yeah, we know where the ultimate goal is, but my job today is to watch and do the thing that is right in front of me. But I don't want to do that. I want to worry about this is it. What's the conversation that's in front of you? What's the tension in front of you? What's that place of doubt in front of you? What's that place that needs a call with your life? Where do you need to show up? That's what's in front of you, and that's the only thing that matters. What's the work that's in front of you? Because that's where the magic begins to happen. It's not let's go backwards where we used to know everything, where you used to be comfortable. Let's just go forward. If we just get through all this, then we'll be fine. Because the wilderness isn't a shortcut. It isn't an obstacle that we have to get around. It's the occasion. It's the occasion where lives are changed. So we don't want to go too fast through it. We don't want to get around it. We want to change our prayers. Philip Brooks has this wonderful saying about this wilderness and what we pray for. Don't pray for easy lives, he says. Pray to be stronger men. Pray to be stronger women. Pray to be stronger humans. Don't pray for tasks equal to your powers. Pray for powers equal to your task. And then the doing of your work shall be no miracle. You shall be the miracle. That's the edge of the adventure. It's not how fast we get through. It's not how we get around. It is us becoming the miracle that God has created us to be in the first place. And it changes us. Let me give one example of how that affects us. Today we're having a brunch. And we're gathering together as a congregation to take a look past last year, but also to be looking ahead. It's a perfect time to be doing this passage. As you go down, you'll go down past the hall, the prayer walk, and you will notice something. You will notice a blank piece on the hallway. I didn't know that this was going to happen this week, but it's perfect. Do you recognize this wall? Until this week, what it had was a different kind of a roadmap. It had the roadmap that we were using to get Jordan, to get an associate pastor. We didn't know if it was going to be Jordan. And as I looked at that map, I go, yeah, that's kind of like the one that that they had to take too. It was up, it was down, it was all around, it was not efficient, it was not quick. It was a journey, and we had to take it. And we didn't know how it was going to come out. And the only thing we could do was being faithful to what was in front of us to do that. Okay, so now we're there. We're in the promised land, right? We can just kick back and now everything will go back to normal. Except God doesn't seem to work that way. So one more quote for the day, that today is a day about setting a course and saying, where do we go next? Today is a day about reminding ourselves that, as Brian McLaren says, the Spirit is calling us not to dig in our heels, but rather to pack up our tents and get moving again. So here's the question, where will we get moving again to? We have a blank wall. In a sense, we have a blank canvas. We have an open question. Do you know where it's going? I don't. Here's what I'm pretty sure about. It won't be easy. It's not going to be efficient, not going to be quick. My guess is there'll be a lot of roundabouts. There'll be a lot of detours, or at least things that seem like that to us. The question is, what's waiting to be written in our lives? What's the chapter that's waiting? Where is it that God is just in front of us, and where will God lead, and how will we respond? Because the adventure experiencing the true God and becoming our true selves is always, always, always on the edge of adventure. It is always on the edge of a wilderness. Because they're one and the same. And in the midst of it is the God who's going to lead. Will we follow? As we think about that, I'm going to ask Carrie to come up and to close ourselves out with this prayer. It's a breath prayer about leading and following. Carrie's part of guest, and she's going to close us in a prayer. And as we often do, just take a few moments to breathe, and she's going to lead us through this, and then we'll close with our last hymn. Carrie,
thank you.
It's all yours.
Hello, good morning. Please join me now for this time of prayer. Let us quiet our minds and turn our hearts toward God. When you are comfortable, close your eyes and open your hands. Take a few full and deep breaths. Take a moment to reflect upon our compassion and merciful, patient, faithful, and forgiving God who dwells in you. Remember that your God, the Holy of Holies, will never leave you, no matter the circumstance. God is with you in every part of your life, even in the wilderness. In this place, O God, we are paying attention. We are listening and watching. We are ready to serve. In you, we live and move and breathe. Where you lead, O God, we will follow. Let us ask God, where will you lead me today? And let us commit to God, in your presence, I will follow. Every breath we take is the utterance of God's name. It shows that we are deeply connected to God, to the Spirit and Creator. By God's design, we are following God, the God of compassion, mercy, patience, faithfulness, and forgiveness. Imagine that God is holding our hands and leading us. And for the next few moments in silence, let us pray as we breathe in and breathe out. Where you lead, I will follow. Where you lead, I will follow. As we now close this time of prayer, in unison, let us say together, where you lead, I will follow. Amen.
And there's really only one question then as we go out this week, is as God is leading, will we follow? We're going to get to answer that a little bit as a congregation as we go down, and hopefully you'll get to go down with us and get ready and start. We'll say the blessing when everybody's served and we're down there, so just get going, get a name tag on. Love to have some great conversation. But whether you're going there or you're going out, the same question is there. God is leading, will we follow? We know we're following when we do what's in front of us, when we love God with everything we've got, heart, soul, mind, and strength. We know we are following when we do what's right in front of us, the neighbor, when we love our neighbor as ourselves. And as we follow, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. May we abound with hope through the power of the Holy Spirit, now and forever. And all God's people said, amen. Go in peace.